As I look around, I see boundaries everywhere. The football field, the baseball field, the street we live on has a sign that children are playing. These are all boundaries, important and good boundaries. If only I could get my teenager to understand that boundaries are important and good.
You're listening to Hope for the Heart with June Hunt. There are boundaries all around us, and crossing those boundaries could have serious consequences. Well, if you're the parent of a teenager or you work with teens, you know that helping them set boundaries in their lives can be a challenge. Today, June looks at the importance of boundaries and how boundaries can be positive as she continues her series, Helping Teens Through Turbulent Times. Now here's June Hunt on Hope for the Heart.
Boundaries are actually essential. We all need them. In fact, it would be pretty devastating if you were walking down the sidewalk and all of a sudden someone were driving on the sidewalk. You need that person to have a boundary of the street and not go into your path. And if we don't have them in our personal relationships, whether in the family, among friends, certainly for a teenager at school, then we're not going to mature as we all need to become more and more mature. Basically, a boundary establishes limits that should not be exceeded without receiving consequences. For example, in the game of volleyball, I grew up playing volleyball. And fortunately, I had a fairly good serve, and typically it would go just maybe 2 inches right above the net. Now, certainly I hit the ball into the net at times, and there were times when I exceeded the boundary line. Mm-hmm. And when that ball soared beyond the end line, it was out of play. It wasn't good. That was the consequence of going beyond the boundary. Now, that's fairly harmless. But in the real living of life, we have legal systems based on moral and ethical beliefs which establish boundaries for acceptable behavior.
Well, June, for a parent listening right now, let's say a parent of a teenager, how should these healthy boundaries be established?
I would say, first of all, evaluate what is right in God's sight. Number two, what is really best for your child? Is it best for your son or daughter to get away with what is wrong? Well, you know the answer to that. Or at least I hope we all do. Kids who keep getting away with wrongdoing are simply being trained to continue to do wrong. That is not preparing them for adulthood. And the parent's role is to prepare the kite for flight. It's to prepare the child to live independently of you. This is a tough time. Parenting teenagers is not for cowards. No. It's really difficult. And so accept that and just be aware that today's teenagers will listen to CDs, radios, TV. They'll listen to anything but reason. So don't expect what you will get back from your teen will be reasonable. Realize that they are in the midst of emotional throes. They're dealing with peer pressure. They're trying to figure out, is what they've heard all along really true from you? Initially, you as a parent represented God. And I mean that literally. Mm-hmm. You represented total authority. You were always right. Well, it's during these teenage years when they've got to decide, will I go along with status quo? Am I going to just accept whatever my parents have told me? So they're going to be testing you. They're going to be trying things on you. They're going to see if the boundaries really are there. So the godly parent will not recoil from being a conscientious parent. Now, you may recoil from some of the behavior. I mean, you may feel on the inside, I don't like what we're going through. I've lost this special relationship that we used to have. Well, just understand that this is a time, a phase of life, where typically teen-parent relationships are not at their best. And as I told a parent the other day, just hang on to these words, now is not forever. In fact, I repeated it, and it seemed to give her such comfort, now is not forever.
Well, all this week here on Hope for the Heart, we're going to be dealing with scenarios involving drawing healthy boundaries for teenagers. And if you're a parent of a teenager, you may not be able to relate to each of the scenarios we'll be mentioning, but I think we'll be hitting home somewhere along the way with you.
And there will be an underlying principle that basically will be applicable to all boundary issues, all disciplinary issues.
Right. All of us as parents have something to learn from this. This first scenario would be, say, if you learn from your teenager's school that your teen is disruptive in class, talking with peers, passing notes around, engaging in a lot of nonverbal communication with fellow classmates during the lecture time, etc., and they refuse to stay on track. What do you do as a parent of that teenager, June?
Well, Jim, especially because this relates to the classroom, you have an excellent opportunity here. Now, before I mention what it is, you can elect to talk to your son or daughter ahead of time about what you're going to do, or you can just do it spontaneously.
Mm-hmm.
The ideal consequence will be for you to request permission from the teacher and arrange your daily schedule to join your teen in the classroom during the class period in which the disruption is occurring. Now, if you want to, you could sit at the back of the room, or it may be more effective if you're sitting right next to your teenager, especially if you feel it's necessary to ensure your teen's cooperation with the teacher.
Well, June, you were talking about scenarios where boundaries had already been established between parent and teenager. But what if the scenario is there was no established boundary between the parent and their teen?
Well, certainly every parent can't think of all scenarios that their son or daughter could get into. So if this had not been discussed, and yet the school had called, and now here's a new scenario, you sit down with your child, communicate what has been shared with you, ask specifically what happened. Is it true that you did so-and-so? Hopefully that teen will level with you and say, well, yes, I did. Now, there may be some excuses, but deal with what is appropriate. If there has been ownership of it, then discuss what options he or she had in the behavior, and you would explain that the only thing you know to do is to join your teen there at the school if it were to happen again. Now, with those words, I would imagine there would be some inner inner turmoil. I know I would hate if my dad or my mom had to sit there, and you know it could be pretty embarrassing.
Oh, yes.
But at least you're giving your teen an opportunity to change. If there's a total denial, then you could say, well, I'm just going to have to go and see for myself. Obviously, the administration feels that there is a problem, enough for them to initiate a call to me. And so I do need to be responsive. And remember that 2 Timothy 2:16 says, avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. So as a parent, you're seeking to protect your child from that which would be detrimental to their life.
How do you verbalize this with your teenager without making the teenager feel like you're attacking them?
I would suggest saying something like this. I know you enjoy being with your friends and having a good time with them, and I want that for you too. But it's also important that you know when it's okay to joke around with your buddies and when it's not okay. Well, since you know what appropriate classroom behavior is, I think you have the self-control needed, but you're just not exercising it. So I've figured out a way to help you. You do know how to behave appropriately with your friends in my presence. Therefore, I'll join you and your friends in the classroom until you've gotten enough practice controlling your behavior so that then you'll be able to act appropriately when I leave. Now, both of us want you to get to the point where you can exercise self-control on your own in every circumstance, and I'm confident that in time you'll be able to do that. I know that neither one of us really wants me attending the class with you for very long, so you'll need to let me know when you think you can successfully handle being on your own again.
Well, June, it would be no secret that every teenager would want to be in control of his or her life. And what
Yes.
you're talking about here is a parent offering the teenager an opportunity to really exercise self-control.
Right. It's the positive approach, which is totally in concert with the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 25:18 says, "Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man or a teenager who lacks self-control."
June Hunt will return with more about boundaries with teens right after this. Life storms can destroy our lives in a way that makes recovery seem hopeless. June Hunt's book, Hope for Your Heart, provides hope for those trying to rebuild after losing their way in the storms. We would like to send you a copy of Hope for Your Heart as an expression of thanks for your gift of at least $25. And if you make that gift before the end of the month, we will also place a copy of this book into the hands of one of the many women in prison who are trying to rebuild their lives. Our order line is 1-800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-HOPE, or you can visit us online at hopefortheheart.org.
June, those familiar words, Mom, everybody's doing it, it's the end thing. Mm-hmm. Parents probably for generations have heard this, but mm-hmm. it seems like the ante's been upped a little bit, you know, these days.
Well, Jim, while that's true, in terms of actions being more extreme,
mm-hmm.
there's a response that you can always give, and that is, not everyone is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
All teenagers don't do it, nor do all parents of teenagers let their children do it, whatever it is.
Right.
I don't even have to think twice about it. If I pierced my nose or my lip or my tongue, I would have been banished to Outer Mongolia by my father. So there's no way that that argument would have ever worked with mm-hmm. my parents.
Well, suppose your teenager comes home from school with a real passion to get their nose pierced, to get lip or tongue, other body piercing. They say it's the end thing. Everybody's doing it. Now, most parents of this generation would say, nobody did that when I was a kid.
Right.
I can't believe this. What do you say?
Well, let's consider this approach. Now, we have to understand we're talking about boundaries,
mm-hmm.
that there is a line, there is a limit which the son or daughter should not exceed. If that limit is exceeded, if the line is crossed, then there is a consequence. I say that because there are times when the boundary has not even been discussed in regard to what is called body piercing. And so this discussion may have to take place even after the act has taken place. Now, whether your teen has had this done or is just contemplating it, and whether it's a son or a daughter, it really doesn't matter. The parent's role has to be to do what is best in behalf of the child, what he or she thinks is right in God's sight. Let me recommend that saying nothing is not a solution if you do have a problem with this. So, number one, let your teen know that you understand their desire to fit in with their friends and to really be accepted. Then say, "Help me understand. Do you have several friends who have already had body piercing?" And if the answer is yes, then ask, "Did you like those kids before, or did you only like them because they got their body pierced?" Now, this must not be said in a way to put their friends down, to be demeaning. The point is, help them evaluate, am I liking them because of this action? Or did I like them all along and they just happened to do this action. And you can anticipate the response will be, well, I already liked them. That's why they're wanting to do what their friends have done. Now, number three, guide your teen in a discussion about the value of friends. You could even mention Proverbs 17:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man or one teen sharpens another. Meaning, if you have a real friend, you'll be better because of that friend. You'll be sharper. Friends are there to refine us, so to speak. In your discussion about friendship, a key point is a friend is committed to helping you do what's best for you. Now think about it. A friend is committed to helping you do what's best for you. Not just do what everyone else is doing, but a friend looks at your heart, knows your need to be accepted, to be valued, and accepts you just because of who you are, not based on what you do to be like others. In fact, a real friend would help you have higher values in regard to how you make decisions. And here would be a wonderful opportunity to move into the value of making choices about our own bodies. Again, based on what is best for the teenager's body, rather than doing something else to the body just in order to fit in. Now, believe it or not, teenagers actually can use reason. I know that some of you may think, oh, wait a minute, not my teenager. You don't understand. But especially if you refer to someone whom they respect. Now, let's suggest somebody 25 years old, 30, 35, whatever. Someone, again, whom they respect. And you could ask this question. Do you think having a hole in his nose would be acceptable? It could be the pastor, the youth director. It could be a favorite teacher or principal, a relative who is well respected. Now, you could say, do you think it's possible that when you become 25, having a hole in your nose really may not be in? Then what do you do? Do you fill it with styrofoam? Now, think about it. If a person is already in, then being in is not based on putting holes in their body. So surely they will remain in whatever they decide to do about having parts of their bodies pierced. The point is, use this opportunity to teach your teen the importance of making decisions about their bodies based on what is best for them personally, not based on whether it will gain them acceptance among their peers.
June, what would a parent do if they felt their teenager really, really doesn't want to have this body piercing done, but the peer pressure is just overwhelming and they feel like they've just got to do it?
That is not uncommon. Mm-hmm. And this is where a strong no to the request is actually a relief to the teenager. And the reason is that absolute no will help your teen, if you will, save face among peers by, in essence, blaming you, the parent, for saying that you won't allow it. In fact, you may even need to enlist outside help to provide your teen with enough moral and spiritual support that your teenager can say no instead of you, the parent, being the heavy. This is where you need great wisdom in talking with your teen. So either you as a parent could say no and be the heavy, or as an example, perhaps there's an older brother toward whom there is great respect, and you talk to the brother and say, I need your help. And that brother could come in and say, oh, you don't want to do that. This isn't going to help you in the long run. It's amazing what certain siblings can do, whether an older brother or sister, that can carry so much weight within the family dynamic. This is why you as a parent need to pray for wisdom. You need to ask God to make you discerning when you're talking to your teenager. Let me paraphrase Proverbs 20, verse 5. The purposes of a young person's heart are deep waters, but a parent of understanding draws them out.
June, it would seem in a scenario like this with the body piercing, it could be very important to say to the teenager very openly, this isn't an issue of something that's morally right or wrong, the body piercing, but it's a house rule. It's what we have set as a rule for our home right now.
That's right. There's not a biblical mandate against it. Some people could try to make a scripture fit, but it's really not there. Mm-hmm. Now, what the Bible does say in 1 Corinthians 6 is everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial.
Yes.
In fact, how you phrase this to your teenager is all important. For example, you could say, I know you want to fit in with your friends, and I want that for you too. You obviously are already accepted, so there's no need to put holes in your body that 10 years from now you'll wish weren't there. So my answer in your behalf has to be definitely no. Later on, what you do as an adult is your decision. But right now, your friends like you for who you are, not for what you are willing to do to your body. And that's how it should be. You know, Jim, I think even Galatians 6:4 would be an encouragement. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else.
Hi, this is Paul for Hope for the Heart. Do you know the 8 steps to success when setting boundaries with your teenager? These 8 steps, plus much more, can be found in June Hunt's book, Bonding with Your Teen Through Boundaries. This book also tackles the increasing problem of bullying. It addresses backtalk from your teen and more. You can order your personal copy of Bonding with Your Teen Through Boundaries and the audio series on teenagers at hopefortheheart.org, hopefortheheart.org, or call 1-800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-4673. You may also want to order this book for a group study with other parents of teens. Some of our listeners have done this and have found it to be life-changing. And don't forget that in the month of June, we have a special focus we call June in June. We're asking that you take a few minutes to share how God has changed your life through this ministry, either through our website at hopefortheheart.org or mail your notes to Hope for the Heart, 2001 Plano Parkway, Suite 1000, Plano, Texas, 75075. These notes are not to honor June, but are to give us the opportunity to thank God for His work.
This month, Hope for the Heart has a special offer to help you and help others. For your gift of $25 to support our ministry, we'll send you a copy of June's book, Hope for Your Heart, as a way of saying thanks. And we will also place a copy of this book into the hands of one of the many women in prison who are trying to rebuild their lives. Call 1-800-488-HOPE or visit us online at hopefortheheart.org.
Thank you for sharing your stories with us. We are indeed a family working together to change minds, hearts, and lives through these daily radio broadcasts and other audio and print resources. So many people like you and me have made a decision to be a part of this ministry, supporting our worldwide efforts through faithful prayer and regular financial support. You can learn more about these partnership opportunities at hopefortheheart.org or call 1-800-488-4673. As I mentioned, we are a family, and these listeners we'll call Bob and Jill have recognized this unique relationship. Listen.
You have provided such a compassionate way of ministering to the deepest hurts and the deepest needs of your listeners. We consider you all family and want to send you our love.
Now, here's June once again with a closing word of hope from God's Word.
Whether you're a parent striving to provide guidance or a teenager looking for guidance, here's an encouraging answer to your questions from Psalm 119. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word.